Wingstop's doing what they do best, taking flavor to the next level. So when chicken sandwiches only came in spicy and plain, Wingstop said, nah, make it 12 flavors. Lemon pepper chicken sandwich, OG hot, mango habanero. You get the picture? Every famous Wingstop flavor, now on the new Wingstop chicken sandwich. Try all 12 and find your favorite at Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings. Huh.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this ninth day of December 2022. And tonight we have a whole lot like we normally do to get to. So again, tonight we have our sentry there at the radio station right here, standing by, ready to fight off all the enemies, those that try to interfere with our program. None other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, and I think we should be good tonight.
I hope so. I don't know. Yeah, I didn't have that feeling that I get sometimes. Sometimes I know when we're going to have a tough night, but. But then sometimes I've been wrong, too. And tonight, sitting in here live with me, none other than my tech guy, and that is Ron Ritz.
Good evening, everyone.
There you go. Now, we're going to start off tonight in Hebrews chapter 12. And Ron, go ahead and read Hebrews chapter 12 all the way through 13, verses 1 through 13.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God deal with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore are all partakers, then are ye bastards, and not sons? Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we give them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of the spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of the holiness. Now, no chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous nonetheless. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of the righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed.
All right. Let's go back and start with verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. Who do you think those great cloud of witnesses are? Well, if you read the previous chapter, it's the heroes of faith. It's those that are spoken about it in the previous chapter, Hebrews 11. Those heroes of faith, these were people that were saved. These were Christians.
Okay.
So he's referring to the saints of the Old Testament saints and New Testament saints both. Okay. So wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. What do you think the sin is which so easily besets us? There's a specific sin it's referring to.
It wouldn't be pride, would it?
No, it's because lack of faith. It's going back to the previous chapter. When he says here, wherefore, is referring back to what the heroes of the faith, and that sinness is such to so easily beset us is lack of faith, okay? And so he's going, and he says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Who provides that race? Who puts us on that course?
The Lord.
Mm-hmm. Now, and he goes on to say, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the beginning and the end, okay?
The Alpha and the Omega.
Yep. Who for the joy that was set before him. Now that joy, now think about this here. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What is that joy that it's referring to?
I think the joy of our salvation.
That's exactly right. The salvation in eternal heaven, and we will be with him through eternity. For consider him that endureth such contradictions of sinners against himself. Now that word contradictions is one in the Hebrew there. That would be a word for hostility.
Yeah, and he people that wished him nothing but bad, I mean just complete destruction, he sacrificed himself for them.
Absolutely. Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds, we have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So what do you think that means, resisted unto blood?
We haven't given our all for the Lord.
Means unto death is what he's referring to, yeah. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. Now, this is written to the Jews, and remember what the Lord Jesus and the Apostle Paul said to the Jews. Remember when the Pharisees and the Sadducees said to him that we are of the seed of Abraham. Abraham, our father Abraham. He's our father Abraham. And the Lord Jesus said, no. He said, you may are the seed of Abraham, but you are not the children of Abraham. Okay? And so here, the Lord speaks of two types of children. All natural born people means every human being. Natural born, God is the father of every natural born. But then specifically, when it comes to this, those that are spiritually born, then God is the father of those that are spiritually born. But those that are not spiritually born again, Satan is their father. It's what the Lord Jesus said here. And he says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Okay. Did you grow up with a father in your home?
Yeah, I've often commented, you know, to younger folks at work that it was my parents that basically, when it was all said and done, as soon as I got off the path, on going in the wrong direction, they were always there to pull me back and straighten me out. If that never occurred, I'd probably be in jail or dead by now.
Okay, so that chastening, the reason
it's a blessing.
The chastening they gave to you, was it because they just liked to hurt you? Or
no,
was it because
it wasn't. Like later they mentioned about favor. It was for our own good. It had nothing to do with any reward for them.
Okay, so what happens is today. What about these parents that allow their children to do everything, to go to drag queens?
When you see these videos of the drag queens in kindergarten or at the library, that's repulsive enough. But when you see these parents, it's like they should be in jail.
So a lack of chastening children when they're doing wrong is...
leads them to the gates of hell.
Is showing not a love for that child, no, but a disdain for the child, huh?
Yeah.
And that's what we see today so often, huh?
Yeah.
In fact, you have an article, I think. We talked about it last night. In fact, we played a clip last night of a school in Chicago.
Yeah.
Where their parents are putting their children... Those parents cannot love, care much for those children at all.
No.
And so he goes on to say, if you endure chastising, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, there wherefore all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Now, let me ask you some questions. Give me some. Let's look at some examples of people out there that are bastards, not sons, according to this, where you have people that are professing Christians often. I remember specifically there was a little blonde-headed comedian here a couple of years back. I can't remember his name. But he had come out and specifically was going on TV show after TV show talking about how his new faith, how he received Christ as Savior, now he's a Christian. And then the next thing you know, he's out doing drugs and involved back into sodomy. And so, boom, he was taken home very early. He was taken right out. Now, if in fact you are saved, and you live in a manner which brings dishonor and reproach to God, God will do one or two things. He'll make you very sick or take you out, or both, right?
Yep.
Now, when you have these people also that you see that are just living, for example, Hugh Hefner or, well, any of these Democrats out there today, they have a profession like Joe Biden has a profession of faith.
Strong Catholic, yeah.
Or Nancy Pelosi talks about how her faith in God.
Yeah.
If, in fact, they were actually saved, if they were actually, and they were responsible for all the killing of all the aborted children, responsible for all the sinful things they do. I mean, they literally embrace everything that God himself calls a sin. if they were actually saved, they wouldn't last a day, would they?
No.
Yeah, and so here, God doesn't chastise them. He's going to do what? He hasn't dealt with them as sons, but he's going to deal with them as bastards, isn't he?
Satan is their father.
Yep. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which have corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be subjected unto the Father of spirits?
And live.
What is he? Is he talking about, there's two applications there. He's talking about live here, in the here and now, and also and spiritually.
Eternally.
For a few days are chastened after their own pleasure.
Now, what does he mean? Who's he speaking of, they and for their own pleasure? Is that our earthly fathers?
Yeah. Okay. Now, in other words, he's speaking, it's the word there is not the word pleasure in such a manner as that it's something that it gives them, they find pleasure, as we see the work of feelings, good feelings. What he's doing here, the point that he's making is they're doing it
for themselves and not us.
No. He's in other words, they have peace of mind that they've done the right thing. Okay, see here?
Okay, they've done their job.
Right. So now he says, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness, referring of God the Father. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So wherefore lift up thy hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight your paths for your feet, lest which is lamed be turned out by the way, and that you rather be healed. So what he's talking about there specifically is this, that here, when the words here, wherefore, where it says wherefore, that wherefore means what? Or so, lift up thy hands which hang down, okay? He's talking about, now listen very carefully. Wherefore, lift up thy hands that hang down and thy feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame. Now, what are they that is lame? If you come across someone that's lame, what do you do?
Well, if they're lame, they're effectively unable, paralyzed, or they're unable to take care of themselves or move. That's
what he's talking about. Be turned out of the way, but let it be rather healed. In other words, he's telling you, first of all, get yourself strengthened out.
Get your strength.
And then go and assist brothers in Christ that need your
struggling.
Help.
Struggling.
That's what he's talking about, struggling. Okay, we're going to stop right there. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be, well, let me see. We're going to be abolitionists, right? Let's take a break.
Sweet, while shadows.
shepherd's watch are keeping.
This is Christ, the King, who shepherds God and angels sing. This is Christ, the King, the Babe, the Son of Mary.
Why lies he in such mean estate? Were ox and colt a-feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners here. The silent word is bleeding.
This is Christ, the King, who shepherds, guard, and angels sing. This is Christ, the King, the Babe, the Son of Mary.
So bring him incense gold and myrrh, come present King to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him.
This is Christ, the King, who shepherds, guard, and angels sing. This is Christ, the King, the Babe, the Son of Mary.
What child this so laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch.
Alrighty, we are back, and folks, you all know the stories about here in the days of slavery in this country. We had abolitionists, and there's a type of abolitionist today. Instead of black people today, the abolitionists are trying to save the innocent children and others. So why don't you play that little clip there?
Anarchism. Most people look at the early modern anarchists as being men like Proudhon and Max Stirner. And so they're writing in the 1840s. I think Proudhon published his book in 1840, and then Stirner published his first book in 1844. And Proudhon is the first man to call himself an anarchist. But there were people preaching anarchism before then, and it was the abolitionists. I mean, in 1832, you have William Lloyd Garrison teaching disunionism, right? That the American Constitution needs to be rejected and all the current forms of American government are illegitimate because they're based on the violence of slavery, or at least they legitimize and legalize slavery. And then by 1838, you have Garrison writing the New England Non-Resistance Society, founding the New England Non-Resistance Society and writing their Declaration of Sentiments. And that is, if you ever look it up and read it, it's as philosophically anarchistic as you can get. The man proclaims that all, well, they proclaim that the only authority that man should follow is Jesus Christ, that all other governments are illegitimate exactly because they're based on violence and oppression, and that it's the duty of humanity to resist that and to resist all forms of government because of it. And they come down to concluding that the only way you can have a truly just society is a society based on the pure love of God and the golden rule, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Their society was based on kind of a spontaneous society, the idea that when you give people the liberty and freedom to live, that they will spontaneously come together to form the kind of groups and communities and organizations that will best help them be successful. And that's 1838, right? So that's 2 years before anarchism and Proudhon was ever officially named anyway. And so it's amazing to see that these earliest form of anarchism, at least in the United States, is Christian anarchism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, people need to look at that. I mean, that's history right there. Where, like, you and I were talking about this before. It's like, why don't we learn about these guys? We learn about Thoreau, we learn about Emerson, but we don't learn about these other guys who were clearly influential in their time. They all had, like, newspapers of their own. There was even the Non-Resistant newspaper in addition to the Liberator newspaper. And then there were other ones all throughout the country. I mean, that shows you a lot of great effort. And then they had meetings and declarations.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting. I mean, Garrison was a radical in his own time, right? Like, even among abolitionists who were considered crazy by most Americans in his time period, which is something most people don't understand. They like to think that just, you know, everyone in the North were abolitionists, but that's not really true. There were many people who were anti-slavery, meaning they were opposed to slavery. But the idea of abolitionism taught that all human beings, black or white, were equal to one another, brothers and sisters who had the same freedoms and the same liberties, which was an incredibly radical message in his day. And I mean, we still struggle with that idea today, right? And so it's interesting to see these men were radical in their time period. And then you've got Garrison, who's even further radical, or men like Ballou. The idea where they take that even further, where they look around them and they begin to realize that it's not just slavery that's the problem, but it's the organizations and institutions that make slavery possible. It's the organizations like the government and the violence that it has to enforce these kind of laws that can brutalize people, that can deny them their basic humanity. And I think we don't learn about them simply because of that, right? We learn about men like Thoreau because at the end of the day, his writing on civil disobedience doesn't challenge the government. It doesn't challenge the state in any fundamental way. It might say, yeah, we need to work together to force the government to make better laws. But under that foundation is still the idea that the government has the authority to make laws, that men living thousands of miles away from you have the authority to force you to obey them against your will and then to punish you and cage you and kill you if you refuse, no matter how wrong their orders are.
All right, very good. We have a lot to get through today. What do you want to comment on that?
Do you want me to go on to Klaus?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is actually really pretty disturbing. I'm going to download the book. But this is from the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, probably the most evil person on the planet, more so than Soros at this point. But from his book, and this is COVID-19, The Great Reset, at least 4 billion useless eaters shall be eliminated by the year 2050 by means of limited wars, organized epidemics of fatal, rapid acting like diseases, and starvation. Energy, food, and water shall be kept at subsistence levels for the non-elite, starting with white populations of Western Europe, North America, and then spreading to other races. And this is an excerpt from his book. I mean, it's just mind-boggling that you can actually put something like that out in print.
Well, you know, when you talk about George Soros, Soros is one who is evil to the bone.
Yeah.
The man is a Satanist. He's evil to the bone. My message this week, the title is going to be Baal, Moloch, and Woke. Baal, Moloch, and Woke. What do you know about Baal and Moloch?
Child sacrifice. And it really epitomizes what we're doing, you know, with abortion now. But you look at the woke agenda, they're just following right in their footsteps.
So with Baal, it was child sacrifice, but it's also pedophilia. Anything for pleasure, whatever pleasured you, okay? But Baal and Moloch were, the other name for Baal and Moloch was Satan, okay? The Antichrist, okay? System is woke today, which is one of the same, okay?
Yeah.
And so when we take a look at all of these, how that works together today, you see, to give you an example, there was no God named Baal or Moloch. In other words, they were simply different names for Satan. The woke movement today, those that are involved with everything that's evil, what you just described from Klaus Schwab, that's the woke. He's the woke. And that's the same type of thing. We'll take a look at that. But also, in Luke 16, verses 8 and 9, it says that the children of the world are wiser in their ways than the children of light, okay? And so we're going to, wiser in that generation, we're going to take a look at how that applies here in America today, because it really does apply here. And so that's my message Sunday, Lord's willing. Now, after saying that, a couple things we're going to do at Doers of the Word Baptist Church this coming Sunday, and that is, of course, the Bible study starts at, and we go through this in the Bible study at 8:30. We go in depth, take a look at it very closely now. And then there's another Bible study, starts right afterwards. Randy teaches one. It starts at 10 o'clock. Now, at 11:15, we do the morning service. And then usually at about 1 o'clock, Pastor Fred teaches a class also. We go all day long classes and that. But at 4 p.m. this coming Sunday, we played a clip here on the radio program earlier. This was a really good one. It's called Fight the Great Diabolical Reset with the Great Commission. And they take a real close look at all the different parts of this reset, all of the different, it's a 2-hour film, okay, and what it is, what we're actually fighting is very, very powerful, and so that's going to be from 4 to 6 this coming Sunday, okay, actually it's a little shy of 2 hours, it'll be probably actually to about 4 to 5:45 this Sunday. So folks, one other thing too, we have thousands and thousands and thousands of articles like this in our archives. People are always asking, that article you had on this, that article you had on that. They're going to be laid out. We're going to lay out thousands of these articles. I mean, articles like what we're going to be covering tonight. They'll be there. So if you say, well, I'd like to know where I can get that information, you can pick it up. It's right there, the whole article, and you can make copies of it or whatever, okay? We've already done the legwork for you. We've gone out, we've done the research, we've verified everything. So all you have to do is pick it up, read it, and by the way, if you don't get our newsletter, you really should. It's free. It doesn't cost you a thing. And it's very, very powerful, because we're bringing you this stuff. This is what angers our enemies so much, it angers them about it because they haven't been able to stop us. You know, here, yeah, well, it's okay. They knocked us off YouTube, all right. They knocked me off Twitter. I'm back on Twitter now, right?
Yep.
How can they find out? How do they go to see
just
me
search Pastor Ernie Sanders.
On Twitter?
Yeah, and there'll be a nice picture of you there.
Okay. Am I saying a bunch of stuff up there?
Yeah, once or twice a day, yeah.
All right, very good. There you go, folks. We're back on Twitter, and they haven't been able to stop us. We're coast to coast, and so, but it's been a battle. I mean, it's been they've tried about everything to take us down. You know, not just us. I've been listening to some, of course, a lot of the, all the conservative people. I mean, they've gone after. But I was listening to some of the other talk show hosts that have been, you know, similar. Not as severe as us in so many ways, but similar where they've tried to take them down. And so, anyhow, let's start off with an article right here. We have massive blow for Biden as Sinema leaves Democratic Party. I don't think it's such a massive blow at all.
Yeah, she's just using that as a bartering chip, I think.
That's exactly what she's going to do, yeah. and Manchin too.
I think if he already independent or is he's still a Democrat, right?
He's still a Democrat.
So I think if he were to leave, then that would lower. They wouldn't have the 50.
Well, he keeps talking about leaving. He keeps talking about leaving. But you see, look, with that, with what he's able to do, the money pours in.
Yeah.
Okay.
He'll get all his projects and all that.
All he has to do, whatever he wants, the money pours in. It's the same thing with her. And it's a wonder others, there's not more of them doing what they're doing because they seem to get away with it all the time, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, so here, an announcement that Daily Mail characterizes a massive blow for Biden. Arizona Senator Kristen Sinema announced that she is leaving the Democratic Party and becoming an independent. She'll still caucus with the Democrats.
Yeah.
But now, she doesn't have to do that. I mean, she could change her mind for some reason. Now, AOC and some of the others are really coming down on her. And it might just work out that she may just change her mind.
Just make her mad enough.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that really bothers her is the, as she says, the complete loss of credibility when the Biden regime keeps telling us that the border is secure, the border is secure. And she says, you sit there, you see, you got all these people coming in, how blatantly they're lying out in the open, and it makes us lose all credibility. And that's one of the reasons she says she's leaving there.
Now, I mean, he went down there and they said, are you going to go to the border? And no, I got more important things to do. It's just mind-boggling what they're getting away with. They're actually flaunting it at this point, the disregard for America.
They are. 2 in 5 Americans say we are living in the end times. Okay, and this is an article by World News Daily. And so he goes on to say, about 2 in 5 Americans agree that we are living in the end times, according to the recent study from the Pew Research. The study showed that end time believers either believe Jesus will return to earth someday and life will worsen until then, that's 14%, or they simply believe that these are the end times, 25%. About 20% of Christians believe that Jesus will return after global circumstances worsen. Well, Christian views on end times are most often characterized as premillennial, amillennial, and postmillennial. Premillennial is the idea that the world will gradually improve and the 1,000 years happens before Jesus returns to earth. All millennial believes that Jesus' reign is figurative and already happening now, while premillennials will say that, okay, I think he messed up here. Premillennialists say that the return of Jesus will begin a 1,000-year reign, but until then the world situation will worsen. Now, that's the exact one. I think what they meant to say is post-millennium, okay, believe the idea that that the world will gradually improve. That's, well, here now. So, which is the three? Is it premillennialism, all-millennialism, or post-millennialism?
Well, it sounded like the second one was the correct one.
Wrong. It's premillennialism. Premillennialism means, here, this is the way it's going to happen, right? This and now, it's really laid out. There's no, it's literally printed out, written out. The rapture of the church will take place first, okay? You find that where? Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting with verse 13. The rapture of the church will take place first, and then also over there in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, once the rapture of the church takes place, immediately the tribulation period starts. Now, the rapture of the church is called the day of Christ, the day of Christ. The day of the Lord always deals with judgment. So immediately after the church is taken out, the tribulation period starts. You've got two parts of that, okay? It's the tribulation, the wrath, and then the great wrath of God, which is the second part, second 3.5 years. After that 7-year period, the Lord Jesus returns, and boy, that all kinds, he cleanses the earth off, and the millennial kingdom period starts. And the millennial, he changes, and the earth gets cleansed. The millennium starts, and those people that are born on the very first day of that millennium will live Christ, because they're living in Christ. They'll live that entire 1,000 years. But here now, the saints will have glorified bodies. We will be returned here with glorified bodies to rule here on earth with Christ. We'll be like governors and mayors, and we'll have different areas. And judgment will be instantaneously, because Christ is the judge. He's going to be here. So judgment will be instantaneously. So anyone who breaks God's laws will be dealt with immediately, taken out. And so that's what the Bible teaches.
Now, with the end times, is it, a lot of the signs are already here, but doesn't the temple have to be rebuilt? The second temple?
No, there's going to be four temples. Okay, what's going to happen? There's already been
twice already. Two temples, so it'd be the third.
Well, the third temple, Christ does not dwell in the third temple. Okay, the temple he builds. Well, the third temple is going to be the Antichrist is going to go into that. Okay, and defile it. It'll be defiled. Christ will build his temple himself, okay? And as he returns, he will come.
And that'll be in Jerusalem, same place.
He'll come
same
through
place.
The East Gate, right. Mm-hmm. And he will build the temple. And so he doesn't need any heavy machinery or anything like that to do it. He'll get the job done. So, yeah, that'll take place right there at the start of the millennial kingdom.
Okay.
So there you go. That's what the Bible teaches. All righty. Now, we have to... I want to get into... Let me do this real quick. Nonprofit blood donation services starts with matching unvaccinated patients with... Or matching unvaccinated patients with donors. Now, we have another article here that I'm going to be reading in a minute here. And
is that the one in New Zealand?
No, this don't. This is the one that says, don't shed on me. Now, I've been getting all kinds of calls. I've been from people out there that are concerned about the shedding. And, folks, this is where you call Nurse Connolly. This is where you call Peter Glidden. This is where you call Wendy Wilson. You want to know all of this area about the shedding. I'm going to read you an article here in a minute. We've talked about this, but I'm no expert in that area, okay? And so on this one here, this is a Swiss naturopathic physician named George Della Petrie, and he believes people worldwide should be free to choose whether to get a COVID-19 vaccine injection or not. They don't believe that here. The Biden regime does not, okay? Our military has been trying to force people. The woke corporations have been trying to force people. Many, many people quit their jobs. They refuse to take the shots. Many of those that did take the shots have gotten sick and died. And so now here we just have an – this is – I'm going to go into that here a little later. But House passes $858 billion defense bill. Repealing vaccine mandate for troops.
I was really surprised to hear that.
I don't trust Austin. I don't trust Milley. I don't trust him as far as I can throw him.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't trust Biden. Okay. Now, let me go back to this article here by Alan Stein. It's an article by Alan Stein. And he says he believes that the same should hold for those receiving transfusions with vaccinated blood. The problem is right now that we have no choice, said Della Petra, founder of the nonprofit Safe Blood Donation Service. In 2021, matching unvaccinated blood recipients with donors in 65 countries. It was very clear from the beginning that the COVID hype was way out of control, Della Petra said. It was not dangerous as they said it was. As a naturopath, I make no sense of this pandemic, which was never really a pandemic. It leaves space for many explanations. Delta Patriot believes that the mRNA injection is more dangerous than the pharmaceutical companies are willing to admit. Well, of course it is. You know, he said that the growing number of adverse reactions are reasons to question their safety and effectiveness. Now, remember, right from the beginning of Sherry Tenpenny, we had a number of doctors here on this radio program telling us that that was going to cause, Dr. Ruby, that was going to cause people were going to start in 4 or 5 months, and then there was another group that would be 4 or 5 years would be because of the different types of vaccines, okay? He goes on to say, here, data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention showed that vaccinated and boosted people made up 58.6% of the COVID-19 deaths in August, up from 41% in January. We can no longer say that this is a pandemic of unvaccinated. Cynthia Cox, the vice president of the Kaiser Family Foundation, told The Washington Post, an article on November 23rd, nearly 70% of the world's 8 billion people have received at least one mRNA injection for COVID-19. Since the vaccines began rolling out in 2021, the height of the virus spread, each of the three companies' mRNA COVID-19 vaccine contains COVID-19 spike proteins, fragments which bind at the cellular level to stimulate an immune response for the virus. Della Petri believes these spike proteins produce classic symptoms, namely blood clots, that horrified him. Well, of course they did, okay? We've known that all along.
Yeah, there was a WorldNet Daily, I saw it this morning, a little girl needs emergency heart surgery. The parents wanted to find relative or friend with unvaccinated blood so they can donate. The hospital refused. They took emergency court action. The court actually sided with the doctors, stating that she's going to have to take the blood that they give her. If this doesn't prove to anybody that's even thinking about, you know, is it real or is it not, why would anybody not allow a parent to just give their own blood? It's like they are forcing.
They want, it's about depopulation.
Yes, it's really that simple.
This is what we were talking about. This is the God of woke. It's the woke. Yeah. This is a part of this here. An article here. Don't shit on me. The COVID vaccinated are a health threat to the unvaccinated, warns Dr. Peter McCullough. Now, he was another one of those in here. Remember from the very beginning, he was saying, it is not a vaccine. It is a, what, bioweapon.
Yeah. Okay?
Is it possible that an unvaccinated person to become contaminated with COVID chemicals through exposure to others who have been jabbed? The answer is yes, according to Dr. Peter McCullough. In a recent interview with Action Canada's Tanya Gall, McCullough discussed the risk that COVID-vaccinated people pose to the unvaccinated. In a nutshell, he likened the situation to non-smokers inhaling the secondhand smoke of smokers, citing a paper recently published in the TMR journal, Infectious Disease Research. McCullough shared details about how messenger RNA, mRNA, can transfer from the fully jabbed to the unjabbed, since these chemicals persist in the blood for at least 2 weeks and likely much longer post-injection. Another study recently published found that the mRNA remains in the lymph nodes of the fully jabbed for months, which further backs McCullough's claims. There's also a recent medical study that McCullough called the most disturbing, and that shows that the mRNA poisons can transfer from breast milk to babies. Oh boy. It seems the body can't clear it, McCullough stated. McCullough focuses losing his medical, or faces losing his medical license for breaking the script on COVID. Yeah, they're, you know, this is the woke, the god of woke, okay? And the medical associations, they're a part of that, okay? The AMA is, they worship woke. They serve and worship woke. And here, he goes on to say, if an unvaccinated person gets close to a vaccinated person, either through sexual activity or even just kissing, the so-called vaccine can transfer through this route as well. It is currently unknown how long an unvaccinated person should wait before engaging in this type of contact with a vaccinated person. McCullough's estimation, these poisons could remain for years or maybe even permanently, making the fully jabbed and indefinite public health risk. Now, I've been actually getting calls from people asking me about this. Recently got a call from a guy whose fiance went and got the jabs. And now he's wondering if
you should go through with it.
Yeah, he should go through this. Okay.
Yeah, they even have dating apps where they're specifying non-vaccinated. So it's, I guess people are starting to wake up.
Early on in the pandemic, McCullough advised the unvaccinated should wait at least a month before having close contact with someone who got jabbed for the Fauci flu. Now he has bumped that up to 90 days or more. After each shot, mRNA accumulates even more with no ability for the body to get rid of it, McCullough maintains. It looks like they permanently install it into the human genomes through what we call reverse transcription, he explained. I'm going to stop right there because we're coming up to a break. But these times that we're living in, these are insane times right now. And because of everything that's happening, that's why so many people out there today believe that the Lord will soon return. I do. I believe, you know, he's... I don't know how much worse it can get.
Yeah, we've never seen nothing like this.
Okay, hang tight. We'll be back after this. A lot more to come yet. Be right back.
Light the fire.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries.
14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.